You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
I think we did food and we did, what was it? Rest. Amen. And so this is going to be the last one, but we are still going to be continuing with our well-being series, meaning that this is something that we'll still be doing with the regime on a Saturday. And so something that we'll be doing more and more of. We will be organizing that. And so you keep your ear to the ground. Brother Carl and some of his recruits will be doing that with us. And so keeping us slim and trim. How many have enjoyed this series? Yeah. Amen. We want you to live long. Amen. Live long and prosper in Jesus' name. Okay, I was thinking about, we're speaking about your discipline of living healthy, well-being, eating right, drinking water, doing exercise. And I was thinking is that, you know, many times you hear people talk about going on a diet. How many ever heard of that? People telling you, I'm going on a diet. Some of you have been on diets, more than one. And the problem with those diets is that you start and they don't last. How many know that? And this is why, I'm not a dietitian, you know, I haven't studied nutrition and all of that, but I'm just not into diets. I think what you have to do is have a lifestyle change. You can't just stop eating chips for a month, lose it, and then go back to eating chips again. Because how many know what you did to get that beautiful shape? Amen. It will only just happen again. That's the reality. That's the nicest way I can say it. And so it will happen again. And so you have to have a lifestyle change. And what that means is you're going to have to change your mindset. For you to really experience well-being, you're going to have to change your mindset. You're going to have to change the way you look at food and exercise and leisure and entertainment and all these things that we've spoken about the last four messages. You're going to have to get a desire, because this is going to encompass everything you do every day, all day. Because when you think about this now, whenever you start a new regime, I'm going to go to the gym. How many ever started that regime? I'm going to start going to the gym regular. Yeah, you've been stirred up. You know, let me speak to the guys. You're stirred up. I'm going to go gym this year. Yeah, you've got this picture in your mind of this six pack and these biceps. And you know, you go. Whenever I go, yeah, we just went to the marriage retreat. I see Pastor Pete. I don't see him that often, but I see his biceps, man. I'm like, my dear, I need to get down to the gym. I see Pastor Tops. He's got some nice guns as well. And I'm like, yeah. But you know what happens after I've not seen them? I go back to my old life. It's like it's lost, and then I don't see them a year, and then, you know, and then, oh yeah, I need to. But you got to have a lifestyle change. And what that means is that, you know, it's got to be in you every day, all day. You've got to say no to those cakes. I mean, no, that's what it is. You've got to say no to those cakes. There are many things that are telling you to give up. Some of you got stirred about drinking water. You've given up already. Stirred about food, given up already. And there are many things that are going to come and try to distract you. Many people, there's going to be people even in the church, oh, why are we doing this well-being thing? This well-being thing, why is people going on about well-being? That's distractions. I saw one in one of the home groups. Someone took a picture of fish and chips or something, man, and cake. People are sending like blueberries and bananas, and they put like that. Why would you do that? You really need help when you're doing that, man. We're gonna pray for you and deliver that spirit of the fish and chip shop. But what I'm saying is, there's always gonna be many reasons why, you know, you give up. So you've got to have a mindset. You've got to have something in you all day, every day, says no to that. I'm doing this. You've got to have a desire. And that's really what I want to leave you with in this series, is because I can talk about all the facts and figures and the science of being healthy and how it plays out. But if you haven't got a desire, you're going to start and you're never going to finish. And really, you're never going to see the results. And so let's go into the Word of God, Philippians 3 verse 12. The Bible says, "Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to us, open our hearts. I pray, Father, that you would give us righteous desires. I pray that you would help us, most of all, magnify your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. And then the real church said, amen. I want to preach about desire. And so obviously we're talking about well-being, and we've been talking about health and then how that plays out in the spiritual realm. But I want to say is that you've got to have a desire more than just want it. Wanting it is not enough. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not enough. Wanting something is just not enough. Many people want things. Listen, I want things, but a desire is different. Meaning, if you offered it to me, I'd have it. You know, you can just want something. Hey, do you want that? Yeah, okay, I'll take it. Yeah, I'll have that. That's not a desire. Just because you want it, it doesn't mean that it's a desire. Listen, I want a six-pack. But that doesn't mean I'm going to get it. Desire is far from wanting. You can be a wanting couch potato. Do you know that? You could be a wanting couch potato. You could just be sitting on the couch, eating chips, drinking Pepsi, swelling up, wanting to be whatever. You can want it, but just wanting it alone is not enough. See, people, there is a difference. There is a distance between wanting and having a desire. People that want to well-being, they'll join the gym. People that desire well-being will go to the gym. There's a difference. People that want, you know, there are people that want an education. They may attend school or college. People that desire the education will study and come out with something. There's a big difference. There are people that they want marriage. But listen, when you desire a good marriage, you've made up in your mind, listen, we're going to work at this. And there is no out. There is no out. We just got to work at this. And this is the difference. There is a difference between wanting and desiring something. There is a difference in the what I'm trying to convey is that you can just, you know, want something. Yeah, I'll have it if you offer it. But a desire is what we really should have. See, a desire produces results. Life always rewards the man who has the desire. See, when you have desires, life many times will reward you. Just wanting things. Everybody wants to be successful. Who here wants to be a bum? Who here wants to be on the dole all of your life? Who here wants to just, you know, nobody wants those things. So wanting it is not the issue. The issue is who desires it. Who desires it? See, when we talk about a desire, let me speak about this. It's something that drives you. A desire is something that it takes hold of you. It drives you. In our text, Paul says, listen, this is laid hold of me. It's took hold of me. It nags at you. It consumes you. It's what you think and talk about. This is what a desire is. You need to desire. If you want to change, if you want your life to change, if you want your habits to change, if you want anything to change, you're going to have to change your desires. What about God? Because obviously we're talking about well-being, but you know, we're in church. We've got to play this out. Paul had desire. Listen to his language in the text. But I press on that I may lay hold. Think of it. He said, I press on that I may lay hold. He has a desire. Like I said, he says, this has also laid hold of me. It's almost like it's out of control. It's like something has laid hold of me. This thing has grabbed me. And so there is something, if something grabs you, it's like you can't shake it off. When you have a desire for something, it's almost like you can't shake this thing off. It's beyond, there is a mystery around what this thing is desired. This thing I desire. He uses these words, reaching forward, I press towards the goal. We know that not only Paul had a desire, Jesus speaks about in John 9 verse 4, he says, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Jesus is a man who had a desire. Jesus had a desire. There are others. Jacob. We know about Jacob wrestles with the angel. Sometimes God is not going to just give you, God is just like, you press a button and it comes out. I'm just going to press a button. This thing's going to come out. I'm going to press. Prayer is like a button. I press it and the blessing comes out. No. Sometimes you're going to have to desire it. And then when you desire it, it pushes you. Here is Jacob. And the Bible says that he wrestles with God. That's desire. When you really want something, you will wrestle with God. We know in the scriptures it speaks about in Luke 8. This is the woman who has an issue of blood. And so I want you to think about this, because this woman has a desire to be healed. She had a desire. She's got a desire for something. And how do we know this? Listen, it says, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. What the Bible is saying is that here is this woman, 12 years ago, she had an issue. Something's going wrong. Blood is leaking from her body. She's like, no. I got to be healed. I need to be healed. I desire to be healed. And so she's going, knocking on. Hey, there's a doctor. Let me speak to the doctor. Hey, okay, here's my money. There's no national health there. So here's my money. Could you do it? Doctor does some crazy stuff. No problem. Take this. She moves it. She goes away. She's still suffering. A month later, she's still suffering. She keeps going through this. She doesn't give up. She doesn't give up. She spent everything she had on saying, listen, I got to get better. She never gave up. She, well, I guess some people just get sick and die. I'm just going to live with this. No. She keeps pushing on, even when she sees Jesus. Now, we know Jesus. We look back.
Stretch a little bit.
Amen. Round two. Okay, where was I? Yes, that's right. The woman with the issue of blood. She's going all around, and we think, we look at it like this. Jesus. Of course, if you see Jesus, you're like, yeah, Jesus is down, because we're looking back. But you got to remember, Bible times, Jesus is just, one is Jesus, that's a common name. If to talk about Jesus, it's like to talk about someone, if we met someone now called Peter or Leroy. Hey, you heard of Leroy's down in Junction, man. Which Leroy? No, not a Leroy. Leroy. And not only that, it's not from somewhere like, we hear like things like Galilee and Jerusalem. We're like, ooh. Back in Bible times, it's like Junction, Surrey Lane. So here is this woman. She's like, oh, and she's hearing, hey, yeah, I heard that Leroy went into York Gardens the other day in the library, and he just started praying for people, and people were getting healed. Hey, there's a big crowd down in outside JD's around him. She's like, yes, let me go. I'm going down there. Because she has a desire in her mind. Listen, you've tried many of these doctors, man. Many of these healers. Many of these things. You've spent all of your money on it. What's the point? No, she has a desire. She has a desire. And the Bible says there's a crowd around him, because after she touches him, and Jesus says, who touched me? And the disciple says, listen, there's a crowd around you. What are you talking about? Who touched you? And she's like, no. People are interacting with me, but they ain't touching me. Someone who had a desire. Someone who had a desire has touched me. And there's a difference. There's a difference. Some of you may have come into church today, and you've come, and you're part of the crowd. But what Jesus is looking for is the one who has a desire. What about in Luke 5 verse 19? The Bible speaks about the man who these friends lower him through the roof. And when they could not find how they could bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up onto the housetop and let him down with his bed through in the midst of Jesus. Think about this now. They get to the we know the story, but here is people that have a desire. We got to get this guy to Jesus. We've got to get, if we get this guy to church, God will touch him. If we get this guy to church, if we get this guy in the presence of Jesus, everything will change. Can I say, church, we as the church can know a lot, but desire little. Let me be honest. We can know a lot. We live in a day and age now where there is, you know, I remember when I got saved, that, you know, let me try to think. Yeah, I got 96. I'd heard of the internet, but, you know, I can't even remember what was on it. Even if it was there, I can't even remember. But I remember when you wanted to do a study, you had to go buy like a thing called a Vines Bible dictionary. You had to go buy this physical book, this big book. And if you wanted a fine word, you needed a concordance. So you had to go and buy a concordance. And so the concordance was about this big, and the Vines. And so you'd have to go and buy these books. Nowadays, if you've got a smartphone, you can just type in a Bible scripture and find out the word. We have more information at our fingertips than ever before. Ever before. There are at your fingertips. Let me just throw this out there. And this is just a little... let me throw it out there anyway. You know, people, your friends come to you, the Bible is translated by King James, and King James was a pervert. Maybe he was, I don't know. But he didn't translate the Bible. And all you need to do is type in your little phone, go in, double click, open up some applications, close Facebook, close WhatsApp, close Instagram, close that, go on to Safari and do a little study, and you will learn. You could learn something, man. People will be like, hey, that brother knows some stuff. It's simple as that. Okay, I'm going to go back to my sermon. What I'm saying is that we know so much. We know so much. But sometimes we can desire so little that you can go into the church and there's no desire in the church anymore. See, in the spiritual realm, are you a scorekeeper or a goal scorer? Are you are you one who keeps the score? Oh yeah, yeah, they've scored one. They've scored one. Oh yeah, they've scored another one. Okay, you know what? If you go to a football game, all of these people, thousands, I don't know, 20,000, 40,000, how many people sit in a stadium could just, yeah, they can keep score. You don't have to have a skill to keep score. But the people on the pitch that score the goals, those are the people that people celebrate. True? And so many times in the Christian world, we've become scorekeepers. We can quit, you know, we know a lot. Hey, what do you know about this? What do you know about that? We know a lot. But what about, do you desire? Do you have a desire for God? You know, sometimes we can push people into ministry, but they don't actually have a desire yet. And I think the danger is here. Listen, we want everybody in the church to be in ministry. I want you all to be in ministry. But let me just put this here, is that you're coming to ministry and you're faithful and you're doing everything. But really, do you desire to do what you're doing? Because it's very easy to conform. You're just, yes, master. Oh, wow. Yeah, very good. But do you have a desire for God? See, I'd rather... you first get a desire for God. And out of that desire for God, it bubbles up in you. And now you want to be in ministry. Now, I understand that sometimes we go through ministry cycles and I can't be bothered with this. And we just got to be obedient. But If you have no desire for God, no desire for God, your ministry, you become an undertaker. That's what you become. You become, your ministry is like an undertaker. You're just trafficking in dead things. Because without a desire, there's no life. Let me start to wrap this up. Desire is so powerful, church. When you have a desire for God, this thing is so powerful because it will fight the tide. You know, in people go swimming in the sea, there's a thing called a tide. It's a current. It pulls you out. It can push you this way and that way. It's a tide. And in our world today, there is a tide. We're like in the sea. There is a tide pushing you. There's a tide, speaking about homosexuality, like it's fine now. It's just fine. It's normal. It's almost like, what, you think that's not normal? Then you're not normal. It's almost like we're not normal now. That you'll find yourself, like, when you talk about it, you'll be like, oh no, he's gay. Because you're like, because if they hear me say it, it's like I'm bad. I'm gay. So it's almost like I'm the bad one. It's because there's a tide. There's a tide. When you start to, when people say, yeah, I'm a virgin. They make a film, a 40-year-old virgin. And it's so funny. Hee-hee-hee, 40-year-old virgin. Hold on, if he's not married, he should be a virgin. If he's not married, what else should he be? A whoremonger? It's like, ah, that's so funny, it's so funny. It's really funny, isn't it? 40-year-old virgin. Okay, all right, think about it, ladies. What if you meet a guy, you're in your mid-30s, he's in his 40s, and he slept with 100 women? Is that, oh yeah, that's the man I want. Is that the man you want? No, you'd want him to be like, listen, you're going to be the first woman I ever kiss. You're my one and only. See, some of you women already got the victory, man. It's like, amen. But we see, that's how the tide of the world is. And listen, I've caught myself thinking things and doing things. I'm like, hold up, bro, that's the world. That's not God, that's the world, Courtney, man. Because there is a tide pushing you and pulling at you. And before you know it, you're drifted. There's some of you here, you know, you come to church and you don't come to church. And you come to church and you don't come to church. And you come to church and you don't. You know why? Because there's a tide. It's almost like it pushes you out for a while. You're out there in the sea floating with the sharks, and then you blow back in, and we see you for a little bit, and then you're out there. It's a tide, and sometimes you've got, well, not sometimes, you've got to go against the tide. And this is the good thing about having a desire, because when you have a desire, you will go against the tide. You will go against the tide. You've got to have a desire in you, man. You've got to desire God. You can't just want God. Oh, I'd like to go to heaven. I want. No, you've got to have a desire. Because the three things that you're fighting the devil. Every single one of you is fighting the devil. Every single one of you is fighting the devil. He has a strategy. He has assigned a devil or a demon, should I say, some sort of demonic activity against your life to bring curses and destruction, to kill, steal, and destroy everything which is good. There is a devil on you. And he's smarter than you, wiser than you. He's been around longer than you. He can do things that we couldn't even imagine. He's able to pull down bigger men than me. He pulled down, listen, he's tricked kings. He's tricked prophets. He's tricked these men. There's no way I'm walking around, yeah, bring him, come. No. But bring him, come, you'll be gone, you sucker. He's going to take you out. Unless... when a man or woman has a desire, when the devil comes and tempts you, or he brings something in you, you know what, devil? I would want the pleasures of that sin, but I desire God more. I desire God more. Yes, let's be honest. You would want that. Yeah. Yeah, maybe I would want to do that with that. But no, I desire God more. Not only does it help you, it helps you against the world, I spoke again, help you with your flesh. You'll put your flesh under subjection. You'll tell your flesh, no, you're not doing that. You're not behaving like that. Flesh, go and pray, flesh. get out of bed and take yourself to church, flesh. But you're telling me to stay here and watch whatever you're going to watch. The other thing is why you need the desire, is because desire is what makes disciples. Desire is what makes disciples. See, a man who has desires, a man who has a desire for God, his discipleship is more dynamic than a man that doesn't. Because listen, you can't make disciples when you don't have a desire. Because men don't want, listen, let me just speak to some men here. Men don't want to follow men that don't have a desire. I don't want to follow a man that when you shake his hand, he's all limp and he's got nothing in him. Like even in the world, you know, let's just be honest for a little bit. Let me give you a crude analogy. In the world, you'd walk into a room, there's guys there, and you're sussing up guys straight away. You're sussing up guys straight away. I don't know the words that you would use, but let me just throw, you know, try to relate with you. You might be like, yeah, that guy looks like a neek. No, I don't want to be around him. This guy, he looks like the man. Yeah. And you're sussing things up straight away. You're sussing things up because a man wants to follow a man. Someone has a desire. You may be like, but that's pastor, that's carnal, that's worldly, that's fleshy. Yes, it is, but there is a truth in it. That men like to follow men. A real man. And now we're in the kingdom of God. We don't dilute that. We purify it. We redeem it. But we don't dilute it. We don't discard it. People that have a desire show people what they need to desire. There's something about seeing someone who has a desire. Like, yeah, I could follow that person. They may not know everything. They may not be this, but they have a desire. But people that don't have a desire, but they've got information. Well, I heard a few weeks ago that so-and-so told me that she heard it from. Listen, people don't, who cares? You may have a position, but if you don't have a desire, that position is going to be psh. We can give you position. We can give you titles. We can give you positions. Position. Oh, no, I want to. Okay, there's a position. There you go. There's a badge. We made a badge for you. Stick that on. You can wear that every Sunday, every Wednesday. You can walk around. No problem. But if you don't have a desire, eventually people realize, nah, you ain't got it. Because it's a desire. What we need is a deeper desire, church. We all need a deeper desire for the things of God. See, I believe we can all turn our wants into a desire. I believe every single person here today, there's something in you that wants God. I don't know if you all desire God, but I know you want God. Because you wouldn't come to church. There are a million things you could do today. Million things you could be doing today. But you're here listening to me. And so there's something in you that wants God. But I want to say maybe today you've heard what I'm preaching and you said, you know what? I need this to turn into a desire. That I'll pay any price that it takes to serve Jesus. Because things are going to come against you that's going to say, no, quit. Give up. Throw it in the towel. And unless you've got a desire, it's just a matter of time. Unless you've got a desire, tell me, you know what? Forget it. But we can turn our wants into desires. It's very simple. If you want to create more desire, feed that desire. Feed it. If you will feed the desire or the want that you have, it will grow. Let me say something else. The opposite is true. If you do not feed it, it will die. This is why someone can be on fire 1 minute and down there the next minute. Because they were never saved. No. They had wrong intent. No. The issue is the desire. I've known in my own life, when I've been a disciple, I'm feeding that desire, I'm on fire for God. And then I stop feeding it. And next minute, I'm like, this is long, man. Oh, I'm the only one. Okay. I'm Spartacus. That's the reality. You've got to feed that desire. I remember when I wanted to buy like a Volkswagen Polo. This was many years ago, man. I was a disciple. And so I had about, this is the most amount of money I was going to spend on a car. I think it's got to be probably 12, I don't know, maybe more years than that. I don't even think I was, no, I wasn't even married at the time. So this is a long time ago. And so I had £3,500. I thought, I'm a big man now. £3,500 I'm going to spend on a car. I'd never spent that much money on anything before. And so I knew what I wanted. I wanted a Volkswagen Polo 1.6. You know when you want that car? Some of you know what I'm talking about. That's the car you want. You've researched the engine and you know what kind of tires they've got. You know the wheel sizes. You know the little button they've got for the climate control and whatever. And so, you know, man, come on, man, help me out. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. And so I remember going on Auto Trader. Like, I was reading Auto Trader like it was the Bible, man. I'd read that thing, man, every morning, every night, man. I could recite it. I was like, yeah, that one's been, no, this is a new one. Wow. I knew everything on there. And so I'm looking at this. Every time I see it, I'm like, oh, that's the car I want. And I could be in mid-conversation with someone. Yeah, what's going on? Hey, bro, that's the car I want. I just had to interrupt. Whenever I saw it, it's like before, I didn't even notice they were out there. Now, everywhere. Oh, my next door neighbor's got one. I didn't even realize that before. You start to notice it everywhere. You know what's happened? Is that you've started to feed a want and you fed it till it became a desire. See, that's the way we're made. See, this is why I know we can all do it. Because we're made. God has made us for this. See, just like with the car, or just like with anything else, a piece of clothing, a house, whatever it is. What it is you started reading about it, researching about it, or you started talking about it, or you started telling others about it, or going where people were about it. And all of that started to create this force of a desire. See, this is why we do what we do. This is why we read our Bibles. Because we're trying to create a desire. See, just like when I was going on Auto Trader, looking at it, the more I looked at it, the desire, just like when you're going in the scriptures and you're trying to find Christ and you're reading the New Testament and you're seeing what Jesus did and how Jesus was and his mercy and his grace, and you're looking at Jesus and you're reading God and finding out about things, a desire is coming up in you. This is why we pray, because you're talking to God and you're praying more and you're getting up and you're spending time with Jesus and you've read some things and those things are not in your life. So now you're praying over those things, and all of this is creating more of a desire. There's a momentum happening. So you go where other people are that want to know God, which is church, and you're coming to church more regular, and you make a commitment to say, I'm going to be here every Sunday and every Wednesday, and I'm going to come here. And it's not just, well, I'm just coming here so that they can see me. No. I'm coming here because I need to feed this desire. I want to desire him more. And then you start telling other people about him, people on your job and people in your workplace and your family. You say, I'm saved. I'm a Christian now. You know what? I was on my way to hell, man. I was living like a devil, but God's grace had mercy on me. I'm saved. Something has changed in me. And the more you do this, you're feeding that desire. See, the problem is many of us, we're just waiting for the desire. I don't feel like reading. Don't feel like praying. Nah, I don't feel like going to church. And you'll never. You've got to feed this desire. You've got to feed this thing. God has started something in you. The mere fact that you're here, the mere fact that you just even prayed, the mere fact that you even come, God has started a work in you. He is faithful to complete it. But I'm telling you, we got to do our bit. You're not working your salvation. You're saved through faith. It's not like the more I read and the more I pray and the more that, then I'll be saved. No. You're saved because what Christ did on the cross. And as long as you stay believing that, living for that, you're saved. But the issue is, what about your desire? See, what should we desire? Let me give you three things. Because in our text, he says, listen, this one thing. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reach forward. What we need to do is we need to sharpen our desire. We need to sharpen it. What he said is one thing. I'm leaving Bosai. Listen, sometimes you can't desire a load of things. You've got to just focus. One thing at a time. This is what I'm focused on. This, the first thing that we must desire. This is what we need to desire. We need to desire to make heaven our home. You need to feed that desire. I need to go to heaven. I have to go to heaven. No matter what, I got to go to heaven. There's no point in me just being religious. I got to go to heaven. If there's things in my life that are not right, then God, tear them away from me. But I got to go to heaven. That's my desire. We need to get up every day and go to bed every night saying, this is what I'm living for. I've got to go to heaven. I've got to get to heaven, man. It's not about pleasing people and looking the part. I think I've said it many times. When I was a new Christian, I read a Puritan paperback book. It's called The Picture of a Godly Man. And in the book, I remember just reading it first. I was maybe a year saved. And that book has set me free. Just that statement he made in the book. He said, what profit will it be that when you've gone to hell, that other people think you went to heaven? When I read that, I was only a year saved. I said, listen, I'm not acting. I'm not playing a game. This is where I am. This is the real deal. This is, I've just got to serve Jesus, man. I need to make sure that I get to heaven. It's no good me. I'm in hell roasting. Well, I don't, you know, just in torment, gnashing of teeth, weeping. And you guys, oh, he was such a good man of God. What profit will it be? It's not like I'm in hell. Oh, at least they think I'm in heaven. That needs to be our desire, church. That cuts across everything. You know, so many times we look at our life. This is what we're doing. That's what we're doing. This is my job. This is my marriage. This is my ministry. This is my finances. This cut across all of that. You got to make it to heaven. Cut across all of that. I've got to make it to heaven. When I die, I've got to close my eyes and open it and be with Christ. That's what I want. That's what I want. Listen, I may die 101 years old. My dad, I spoke to my dad the other day. There was a family member, a family friend of my family in America. And the lady died, and she died 110. 110, man. I said, she had a good run. Listen, if I get that kind of run, I've had a good run. How many of us a good run? You know, if you die, family around you, you're old, you just go to sleep. I love you, I love you, I love you. Sleep. Okay, that's a good run. Or you die young in a sickness. We all know Pastor Ulu passed away. Tragedy. But let me tell you this now. It's where you go that makes the difference. It's where you go that makes the difference. The Bible says, listen, Paul says, he says this, and he says, it's not even worth comparing these light afflictions to what you're going to receive. He says, light afflictions. Now, that's so funny because this is Paul speaking, light afflictions. He's like, you know, it's not even worth comparing that minor thing. That's what Paul is saying. It's a minor. Hold up, what happened to you, Paul? Beaten? That he was dead. Some theologians believe that he actually did die. They stoned him and he died. And when they took him outside, God raised him up. I don't know if he was dead, but they thought he was dead. That's a stoning. Listen, just one stone licking me on my head is enough. I'd be vexed. I'd lose the victory. Just one stone. If you just throw one stone out, what kind of madness is that? No, Irish is done. I'm going home. How many know? Collapses on the floor. They carry his dead. Feel his pulse is dead. Take him out. Dash with that. Throw him outside. He says, that ain't worth comparing. He said, that ain't worth comparing. Shipwrecking and betraying. All of that. Listen, he says, it's not worth comparing. We've got to focus on heaven. You've got to have a desire. You've got to birth that desire. You've got to feed it within you. Feed it. Feed it. You're on the train. It's like, oh, I'm just going to work. You get home. I've got bills to pay. You come to church. Oh, this person I like. That person I don't like. All of this will distract you. No. No. Stop. Think. I've got to go to heaven. I've got to go there. I desire it. I've got to. No. You're going to do right. You're going to live right. You're going to say right because you've got to go there. You need that desire. Second desire is you need to desire to know Christ. You should desire to know Christ. You got to know Him. I'm glad you know me. But how many know, I've said it before, when we all die, I'm in the line with you. It's not me, Jesus. Oh yeah, let him in. Not her. She just gave me pure trouble. Oh, just send her to the back of the line. Let's just keep her in the little suspense. No, I'm going to be in the line with you. Pastor, hey, yeah, I'm here, man. Woo. <It's gross. laughs> That's how it's going to be. I already know that. I'm in the line with you. And so it's good that you know me, but you need to know Jesus. You need to know Jesus. You got to know Him for yourself. Sometimes people call me up, Pastor, I've failed, I've da-da-da, and you know, we've spoken a few times. I said, you know what? I'm not, you know, sometimes you rebuke people, you try to scare them out. Say, listen, that's bad, don't do that. I'm just trying to, you know, come on. Sometimes you say, listen, you better take some time to know Jesus. You better know Jesus. You got to know Jesus, man. You got to know Him. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is, listen, He is the Logos, the Bible says in John. In the beginning, He is, He was with, He is the second part of the Trinity. Everything which is made was made by Him, for Him. Really and truly, we are the extras and He is the star of the show. This is His movie. We're just the extras. We just come on the stage for a bit and then come off. We think we're the stars of the show and everyone else is the extra in our show. No, 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 no. This is the Jesus show. And we're, listen, you and I are the extras. Man is the extra because the extras come off and go on. That's what the extras do. They come on, they go off. Adam came on the stage for a little bit, came off. Christ is still Christ. Abraham comes on and comes off. Moses comes on and comes off. All of the prophets, all of the kings, all of these things, the apostles come on and off. And just like them, we come on and come off. Christ is still His show. We need to get to know Him. We need to get to know Him. You've got to have a desire. Say, God, I need to know You. This is what Paul says, that I might know Him. That I might know Him, Christ, the reason for everything. The word logos. When, you know, Paul would have wrote that, sorry, when John would have wrote that, when he says in the beginning was the word, is in the Greek is the word logos. And what he's speaking about, and it's funny because before John ever wrote that, 500 years before that, that word was coined in Ephesus. And what it meant is the reason for everything, the logos. And this is why you understand that is put when you see Greek words. It's the reason of, or the studying of, or the understanding of. Ology is where we get it from. So when we have zoology, zoo, animals, the study of. Sociology, social, meaning people, the study of. Psychology. Yeah, I've made my own word. Psych meaning the mind or the brain, and all of these things, it's the ology. So when John is saying this, he says, listen, Jesus is the meaning of everything. The Bible says in Hebrews, all things come together for Him. He is the express image of the Father. I've said it before, the reason why the molecules stick together, the reason why the electrons go around the protons and the neutrons is because Jesus said it. You need to have a desire. I need to know Him more. If you think you know Him because you went to Sunday school and you know about this guy, long hair, beard, white cloak, lamb on his back, walking around Galilee. No. Before all of that, do you know Him? This is why when John says, in the beginning was the Word, he says, in the beginning was the Word. He couldn't say, in the beginning was Jesus. Because before Joseph and Mary named Him, He was still existing in eternity. This is why he couldn't say, okay, in the beginning was Jesus. No, but let's go way before that. See, we could go on, we could give our whole life to studying Christ. Every waking hour, you could give every waking hour to studying Christ and you still would not exhaust Him. Meaning that there would still be more to Him. God has deposited within you that there's something that wants a hero. There is something that wants someone that is powerful. This is why people watch these movies with heroes and they come in and they rescue people, because there's something in us that wants something which is above us, better than us, more than us, that will come in and rescue us. God has put that in there, and that is Jesus. And you will never be fulfilled until you find Him and study Him and know Him. That needs to be a desire. And you need to desire to bring others to Jesus. Heaven, to know Him, bring others. If you want your desires to grow, you need to stay hungry. I remember reading about this guy, Steve Jobs, started Apple with Steve Wozniak. And so when he died, they were, you know, talking about him. Here's the guy. He's that company. I think it's one of the, if it's not the biggest, it's that one of the biggest companies in the world now. And I remember when Apple was tiny, man. I remember having an Apple back in the 80s. We weren't even born. And people were like, what's that? Apple, weird. And this guy, he built this company up. Built it up. It's transformed so many different things. Now, I'm not promoting the guy like, yeah, he's up there with Jesus. I'm not saying that. He's got to work his own salvation out. But what I'm saying is that there was something about this man that was able to pioneer new products and do things and change things. And people bought into it. And one of the things he said, this is the statement, he said, stay hungry. Now, I believe he sold Apple, or he sold the shares. He became like a multimillionaire in his 20s. Like multimillionaire, like 10, 20 millions. Sold his shares in Apple, went public. In his 20s, let's be honest. Some of us, if you gave us in our 20s, like 20 million, that's it, it's over, man. Lounging. I'm lounging. That's how some of us would be. But here is this man, he remains hungry. He wants to push boundaries. By then, he had not invented the iPod. You know, there was no iTunes and MP3s. There was no iPhone and iPads. There was none of these things. Back then, he could have just said, but he said, no. One of the things, he says, I remain hungry. Even though I remain hungry, I'm always desiring more. What about us, church? That's in the natural. For things that are temporal. He's come, He's gone. The temporal things. Jesus says this, Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you still hungry for righteousness? Are you still hungry? Spiritually hungry? This is what there needs to be. There needs to be a hunger in you that is never satisfied. Always saying, God, I want more. I want more of you. I desire more. None of us have arrived. How many know that? Listen, I've not arrived. No way have I arrived. Nowhere near. Nowhere near. And even if this church filled the whole building, even if we filled back there, we had 2,500 people, I'd be like, no, we still haven't arrived. There's churches out there that are 16,000, 20,000. Because we've got like 100. Yeah, we've arrived. Please. There is hope in this. Before every revival, there's a desire. Did you know that? You study every revival, you'll see there was a desire where people said, you know what? I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable. Something's agitating me. Maybe there'd be a few people here today, you would be like, not condemned, but not comfortable. You'd be like, I want more of God. I want to do more for God. I want to experience revival in my lifetime. Some of you here, you're not, listen, this is not condemnation. You don't leave with your head down. Oh, I'm rubbish. Pastor said I'm rubbish. I don't have a desire. I'm lazy and, you know, I'm overweight and underfed and everything. No. What we're talking about here is saying, no. Before every revival, there is a desire. You study any revival, any move of God. Let me push it even further. You may observe people. And you look at their life and they're on fire for God. They're living for God. They're having revival. They're doing this, they're doing that. And many times the devil comes in there and he condemns us. Oh, I'm rubbish. Look at them. No, 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 no. This is where the hope is. Because before they got there, they had to have a desire. They have to have a desire before there is any move of God. This is why it's so hopeful. Because you may be at the lowest point of where you think you could be right now. But all you need is a desire. All you need is the desire is to say, God, you know what? I have a desire for more of you. I'm going to feed that desire. It's a little flame, but I'm going to blow on it and feed it and fuel it till it becomes a bigger flame, till it becomes a consuming fire, till it becomes a blaze, till it becomes more. This is what we need. Then this is the hope that we all have. That you could just say, you know what? I'm going to start desiring, man. I'm going to start desiring more from God to build this. I'm not where I want to be. Thank God I'm not where I was. But I'm not where I want to be. God, feed this flame. God, strengthen my desires for you. God, I want to push forward. I want my ministry to be phenomenal. I want my family to see me on fire. I want to go all the way. God, I need to make heaven my home. I need to make heaven my home. I need to know you, Jesus. I need to know you. When I speak about you, I don't want to sound like I'm reciting history, like I'm talking about Julius Caesar. When I talk about you, I want people to feel like I was just with you an hour ago. I want that. This is what we need. Let's pray for a desire. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.